Thank you. It's just been so wonderful to be here this weekend with you all. I spoke Friday night. How many was here Friday night? Amen. I hope you were really blessed by the word of God. I had a great time ministering it to you. We're just like I said, so thrilled. You all have been so hospitable. We've been having dinner with different members from the church each night, and they have been amazing to talk to. Just full of the Spirit of God and just their passion for the vision of this house and their love for their pastors. You know, it's just so wonderful to see. You know, so many times we work and we labor, and you never hear the good things about us, but it's wonderful to be able as pastors to hear how members see their pastors and how much they love their pastors. And you guys are really loved and appreciate it. So I want you all to know that. But once again, I don't want to take too much time, but once again, I'm just so grateful to be here and so thankful. Just have your hearts ready for an impartation this morning. So my husband is going to bring forth the word of God this morning to you. I believe it's going to transition you and take you to a higher place in God. And so I don't want to take too much of his time. So thank you for welcoming us here and just being the people of God that you are. I always say that we never go and have visitors, but we go to see family. Yes. Amen? Because we're all part of the body of Christ. So God bless you and thank you. I'm the only one who can turn them on. Amen. You're on. Hallelujah. Yeah. Isn't that good?
I trust Pastor Perry. Me and Pastor Perry go back. So I trust Pastor Perry. Explicitly, I trust Pastor Perry. He is a fine man of God. But before I really, you know, the two things that you'll receive today, you'll receive an impartation of what the word of the Lord is from Marion Christian Center and what God is saying to you. And I'm a guy that's on time. So you can set a time for me. I'm not long-winded. I am one that, and I'm very transparent. My wife, very transparent. God gives you something to communicate. Would you just communicate? Go to the store, pick up some milk, and come back. As you can see, I probably didn't grow up in the church, and I did not. So I'll just give a brief about that because it's always important to, Paul says, to receive who you're receiving from. And not just take it as, well, there's another minister, there's this. Yeah, but you really don't know the anointing. And so I want to say we are family here. We feel like this is a part of who we are. This is a part of our troop, our tribe here at Marion Christian Center. I've heard so much about Marion Christian Center for the last 8 years. I never had the privilege and the honor to meet Dr. Watson, but I've heard great things about the foundation and everything that he helped establish here. So it is an honor to be here with you. And we honor those who labor among us and who have labored before us. And so I honor Dr. Watson here. I honor a pastor and Pastor Lois here and the team here before I do anything. Okay, so this that we have that understanding because God gives honor to whom honor is of. Am I still? Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Let me say this. Like I said, I didn't grow up in church. I'm from Anderson, Indiana. So I am most of my family is from Indiana. And I grew up, graduated, went to college in Missouri, played football, got a scholarship there at Lincoln University, and did not know the Lord. And God brought me to Missouri to meet the Lord, to meet my wife. And so I got saved, born again in college, and I didn't know one scripture. So let me help some of the young people. I did not know one scripture at the age of 23. Okay, not one. I can tell you what they said on TV, but I did not know one. And I'm saying a lot of this to encourage you. And so I met the Lord. The guy after practice invited me to a church, and it was a Spirit-filled church, really a Kenneth Hagin type of ministry, off branch of that, Kenneth Copeland and Fred Price faith. So I came in really in a lot of faith and that type of thing. But the Lord had called me, and he had told me, you'll be a prophet to nations. This is back in 1987. And, of course, I didn't know anything about that. But when I got my calling, the Lord said, I'm calling you to be my messenger. And you said, if you didn't play pro ball, you'd go into coaching. And I said, that's true. He said, well, I want you to coach my team. Speak to the potential. Call them forth. You got the playbook called the Bible. Don't deviate. And do what I ask you to do. So a lot of my ministry is speaking what God is saying, okay? And then how do we get from here to there, okay? And so when part of that ministry is when I go to a church or I go to a nation or goes, what is the word of the Lord for that city? What is the word of the Lord for that church? What's the word of the Lord for that home group? Because you have many pastors. You have Pastor Perry as a pastor. I know that the word of the Lord is taught here. Okay, so you've got teaching, you've got preaching, you're getting taught right. The anointing is here, it's all over this place. Okay, so I'm not giving anything more, I'm just giving a rhema word of the Lord because we prophesy in part. So God's just not going to have someone tell you everything. We prophesy in part. So out of that vein, that is how I'm really coming this morning. Is that okay? All right, now I do have to take care of a couple of things that the Lord placed on my heart about 5 this morning. Some words of knowledge, kidney issues. Who has had a kidney issue or know someone with a kidney issue? If that's you, I need you to stand up because you were on God's heart about 5 this morning. So you need to stand up. If you've had kidney issues, there's an anointing to heal. If God reveals it, he wants to heal it. Okay, so stand up. And then those who are around them, just stretch your hands out to them. It's not a one-man show, it's a saints movement. Not one man's going to heal, Jesus heals. Well, you are the body of Christ, so you're releasing healing. Okay, that's body ministry. All right, so Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you if you have revealed this kidney issue. Father, we declare, Father, that they will operate at 100%. That, Father, what you formed the kidney to do, it shall be in the name of Jesus, and nothing shall be lost. We thank you for the total function and the wholeness to that kidney area right now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen. Amen. Now, point 2, sciatic nerve. Who's got a sciatic nerve? 5 o'clock this morning, you were on God's heart, so stand up. Okay, sciatic nerves. Now look how many people have sciatic nerves. Well, because God doesn't want you, let me give you a word real quick. You're going to be whole coming into this next season. So you'll see by the time we get done, you'll understand why God did this. Okay, so stretch your hands out to your brothers and your sisters. Father, we thank you for these. Father, in the name of Jesus, we speak to the sciatic nerve and we say that it will be healed and made whole in the name of Jesus Christ. It will be a testimony of the backbone of who you are in the name of Jesus Christ. We decree that wholeness and that healing in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen. Amen. There is a vein in this house, and I'll talk more about that. Property, the last word of knowledge that I have this morning so far is property. Who needs to sell property? Who's looking to sell property? And we just can't sell it, but I know I need to sell it, and I need a buyer. You need to stand up. There's an anointing for property to be sold, all right? Now, everyone stretch your hands out to those that sneer. It's body ministry. We just don't teach it. We preach it, but we demonstrate it. All right. So, Father God, we speak to the property that it will be sold, that it will be a well for those that you have designed it to be in the name of Jesus. We call the consumer forth. We call the buyer forth in the name of Jesus Christ under the terms by which these have stood to agree with in the name of Jesus. We decree it and declare it. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. So let me get right into some things that the Lord is saying.
to Marion Christian Center. And you, in a lot of, you're taught people. That's the good thing about being in certain places. You don't have to go through a lot because you know a lot. When I say Marion Christian Center, or the guy who's running the burger establishment down the road says Marion Christian Center, he doesn't, it's not the building, it's the people. Now look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. So when God says, I have a word for Marion Christian Center, he's not talking about brick and mortar. That's just where we meet. But the life, blood, sacrifice, offering, prayer, that's you. So I always tell people, someone says, boy, I hope I get a prophetic word today. You just got one. You're going to get a prophetic word all morning because he's talking to you. And what you'll end up seeing is then God will divide that in from the whole to a portion, just like the 12 tribes of Israel. You're a whole, but let me talk to the Issachar group. Let me talk to Zebulun. See, and that's what he does. So we just got to be able to interact with that, okay? But he's talking to you. You make up Marion Christian Center. And what does that look like in 2016 in the dawn of an election year? What does that look like? And who are we? And what is that? What is all that? Because God has appointed you for such a time as this. And that's what we're going to dig a lot into, that we recognize who we are as Marion Christian Center. You know who you are, but say update. Update's not a bad word, because if you're married, you got to update. If you go to school, you update. That's just God's way of saying we go from glory to. So updating is just going from glory to glory. When Dr. Watson founded this ministry, you went from one level of glory to another level of glory. You've entered into a new level of glory. Now hear me, let me say this to you. When God, you don't want to mess with God's glory. I would not. I'm going to be. This'll deal with a lot of talking. You know, sometimes we can get when we talk about people. Well, you don't know what level of glory they're in, because Saul's not the same. And you weren't there when the light came. So you really don't know. And over this ministry, you don't know what it took. You do, but people might not know what it took to get you to where you are. Because you're moving in a level of glory, or the presence or the manifestation of God. And God says, I'm not done yet. And I'm doing a deep work here. That's why he says, judge nothing before the time. Okay. So when God's glory is upon something, we don't have to have all answers. Now, some of us are going to get free all day today. You're going to get free from, I got to have answers. That is a religious spirit, and break it off in Jesus' name. You don't have to have all answers. That's a lie from the pit of hell. This is not a time to be spiritual. See, that's how we do. We'll get spiritual. Just don't do that. You'll just jack it up every time. The Pharisees and the Sadducees did it. They try to get spiritual. Don't get spiritual on me. I am a spirit. What you telling me? You're not telling me nothing I already don't know. So don't try to be spiritual. See, that's where we get goofy. I'm just very real. Okay? And I've been all around the world, thank be to God, with different leaders. And one thing I found about man, there's one man, and we all came from Adam. And God communicates to our spirit. He is not complicated. Religion makes things complicated. When we get in the way, it makes things complicated. Just stay with the playbook and let it go. Okay? And that's that. And so God is meeting us where we are. See, when you hear when you feel the presence of God, and you'll feel it in his house, you'll feel this, there's a liberty. There's a weight that's coming off of you in this hour. That's why she spoke about obligation. That's why God is saying, I'm not going to have you move in false responsibility. You're going to move in what the ability I gave you, and we're going to like it. Okay? So you're coming into your new identity. And I say all these things, but I'm going to passages for time's sake, okay? So are we tracking so far? Are we still with me? So if there was a title to this, it's time to cross over into the next level of prophetic destiny. It's time to cross over. Say, it's time to cross over. See, it's time to cross over into the next level of prophetic destiny. If I am scheduled to be married, I am not. But when I do, I'm crossing over to the next level of prophetic destiny in my life, for I am no longer single. That season has ended and you can no longer act single. Hello, because you're crossing over to the next level of prophetic destiny. It's just been you and Sally. Now you got 8 kids. You have crossed over into another prophetic level of destiny. Now, if you still try to do what you and Sally did prior, good luck with that one. See how long he lasts. There's nothing new. I'm just saying, it doesn't matter if it's church, family, school. This is, do you have Marion High School here? Is there a school called Marion High School? What's it called? Marion Hardy. So if I was a senior there and I graduated, I can't go back. Yeah, but I liked the teachers and I liked every. You can't go back. You've got to go to the next level of life. Okay? And so no matter where you are, we've just got to be able to pinpoint when those next levels are starting to come. Because 1 Chronicles 12:32 says, and you know this, that the sons of Issachar knew the times and seasons of what America ought to do after Tuesday. They knew the times and seasons of what ministries and what the church should look like in that hour. And Marion Christian Center has a part to play in this nation, because you are a part that makes up a whole. So it doesn't matter if we're in Missouri and you're over here, we're still one body. And so God is moving us all to the next level of glory, the next level of prophetic destiny. No one has it all. So we're going to have to learn and see and move with the Spirit of God. Those who hear by the Spirit of God, move by the Spirit of God. Those who hear by the Spirit of God, move by the Spirit of God. Not out of the flesh, not out of how much schooling they had, but they move out of the Spirit of God. Okay? And so, we're crossing over into the next level of prophetic destiny. Of course, Proverbs 29:18 says that my people will perish if they don't have vision. Without a vision, you perish. In the Hebrew, that means you wander. And that's nothing. Now, hear me. Sometimes vision ends and there's not a new one that you see and you wander. That doesn't make you evil. That doesn't mean that you're not spiritual. Another lie from the pit of hell. Someone says, well, show me in scripture where that is. There was a man named John the Baptist that Jesus himself said, there's no one greater than this brother. So if that was John the Baptist, that no one was greater than this man. Now you may be, God be with you. But there was a man named John who baptized God. Hear me, not your little nephew, even though you love your little nephew. He baptized Jesus. You may know him, the Son of God, your Savior. He baptized him. And Jesus submitted to a fallen man. So God's not concerned about our submitting issues. See, there's a level of freedom coming. I never saw that before. God said, right, we're going to move over quickly. And what took you 5 years to get, you'll just get in a matter of months. He's going to do a quick work. That's why he did a quick work. 30 years as a carpenter, 3 years done. Jesus coming back for a glorious church, he will. And there will be a measure of the kingdom of God demonstrated on this earth before he comes. So I'm not a doom and gloom prophet. I believe in Isaiah 60, arise and shine, the light is coming upon the church. Those who have influence, kings will be drawn to their light. So there's a lot of lights God's forming in the body of Christ right now, and you're one of them. And Satan don't want you knowing it. Okay? He fights that. But let's talk about John real quick. This is the guy who baptizes Jesus in the River Jordan. He didn't want to. Jesus says, suffer to be so for now. But here's the thing. Sometime later, Herod and all that transpired with the Jezebel spirit put him in such delusion and such confusion, as we would say, non-spirituality, in a prison talking about, is he the one? Is he the Christ? You know why? Because what God was saying was, yeah, John, that was the baptism of repentance. That was that move. but now we're going to the next level of prophetic destiny, and there will be outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and you're just caught between two. Doesn't make you evil. When people start leaving, doesn't make things jacked up. Doesn't make it stupid. God says this is what happens when we're right there in transition. See? And so if we're going to talk about going to the next level prophetic, we have to just be real and look at Scripture that there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new. Everything you're hearing is nothing new. You've read it before. And so there will be moments when you're in transition, going from one level to the next, where you're going to fall into confusion. Doesn't make you non-spiritual. You just can't see the vision of what God really has for that marriage, for that husband, for that wife, for that business, because you're in transition from one season to the next. Okay? So, yeah, at the end here, God's going to say a lot of things that he has for this ministry, but God's just not going to just give you a bunch of words to make us feel good. You're going to have those words, but you're going to actually be sane as you go. You're going to have peace. You're going to have a sound mind. You're going to realize that you don't have to submit to a religious spirit that tries to tell you you have to be spiritual and that you got to prove who you are in the Lord. God says, we're getting all that. See, that's what's happening in America, right? America don't know what's going on, but I'm going to tell you. Anyway, a lot of stuff just getting broken off, okay? And so understand that you're coming into that place where God is saying, you know, I'm causing the vision of this ministry to be formed to a Reformation kingdom movement that I'm doing in the earth. And there is no ministry or no church that says they have it all. It's just a move that we know. It's like when Jesus is coming one day. That's what they said for thousands of years. And he came, but no one knew how he was going to come. Same here. Okay. So, but we just have to, that way, when we see it that way, I can respect the church down the street. I can respect the church over here in Chicago. I do a teaching on keep name out mouth. Which does that mean? If you can't, they used to say, if you can't say nothing nice, don't say nothing. I say keep name out mouth. In other words, keep my name out of your mouth. Then you can't say anything bad about me because my name never came out your mouth. You say, where's that biblically? When they went around the walls of Jericho. You're dealing with a wilderness-minded, poverty-minded people who have no guns, no ammunition, and they're slaves. But in order to possess the next level of prophetic destiny, God says, go around and don't say, because we know how you do it. You have a testimony of how y'all talk. And that brings up an evil report. That didn't work out so good. So this time, don't say a word. So whenever you're crossing over into certain things, God's not really concerned about our opinion of our experiences. He says, I've seen your work. Trust me. No. Just say what I prophesied over you, and just say what I've said over you in the word. Just say what I said. Because pain will come up and speak. Anger will come up and speak. Unforgiveness will lash out. So just don't say anything. Don't say very much when you're in those times. Maybe that's why James says, be swift to hear and slow to speak. Don't be quick to be angry. Maybe that's why. Because whenever you're going to another place, You just want to be in that place with the Lord where I'm hearing. He gave a word to Pastor Perry and the team yesterday, but it was to Pastor Perry. And I love that. I'd never released that word. You know, you hear people say that. Yeah, that's true. I never released it. I received it myself, which was Solomon had a hearing heart. He could have asked for anything. But notice he was, you could say, second generation. Entitlement. He could have asked for anything. But he says, I tell you what, can you just give me your hearing heart? Because I'm responsible for all these people. And they done been through enough. Just give me a hearing heart. God says, because you asked for that, you'll be the wealthiest man in the world. Because you have a heart for my people. God's looking for the church to have a heart for mankind again, which is the kingdom. That's why the prophetic, hear me, because a lot of people will try to come against the prophetic is breathing that to hear and release the heart and the mind of God. Notice the heart and the mind, not just the mind, not just telling people their issues. We went down that lit. Well, anyway, you getting what I'm saying? Okay. All right. Okay. Let me get this in here. Okay. 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 We're doing all right. Let's, before we go there, go to Luke. Let's go to the book of Luke. I'm sorry, Matthew 8, 22. We'll just work out of that. That will be the main passage today that we can wrap this in, okay? All right, Matthew chapter 8, and it'll be verse 22 through about 27, but we're going to take our time with it because we're going to navigate how to cross over to the next level of prophetic destiny, okay? And so understand that in this passage of Matthew chapter 8, verse 22. We won't turn there, but in Luke's account of this, there is also a, do I want to do that? There is also an account of how Jesus said, let's go to the other side. Okay. I think I gave you the wrong verse on that. Hold on. It should be 22. Is it 23? Let's go to verse 18. I'm sorry. Verse 18. I told you wrong. Verse 18. Matthew 8, verse 18. Okay. Now, in this account, there's something that we want to see. But in Luke's account, we won't read it, but he says, let's go to the other side. And the Bible says they launched out. There's a difference between let's go to the other side. That's convergence. That's coming into the kingdom. That's an invitation. Do you want Jesus Christ? Do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you want to be a part of who I am and what I'm doing? See the difference? That's the book of Luke's account. But you'll find in Matthew here, this is a different account. Verse 18. Now, when Jesus saw a great multitude about him, he gave a commandment, depart to the other side. And a certain scribe said unto him, Master, I follow thou wherever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests. But the Son of God doesn't have a place to what? You could say whenever God's taking you to that next place, he's not making you any promises that you would be comfortable with. Let's try that again. I'm not promising you a place. I'm not promising you anything that you might have to have all the amenities of last season. So that next level may not look like anything that you've experienced before. And don't you hold me to, you made me this promise that it would be like this. No, I promised you, and this is what I said, this is what I will do. But I never promised you all the amenities that you had before. Say comfortability. Anybody been feeling stretched the last 7 years? Or have you just been just so peaceful and watching the news just go around? That's called stretching you out of comfortability. In the body of Christ, God has been stretching us beyond our comfortability of what we've known. And he says, I'm not making any promises of what this is going to look like in days ahead. Are you with me? All right. So he says, he tells him this in verse 21. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. And when he was entered into the ship, now, this is what I want to see. His disciples followed him. And behold, there was a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves. But he was what? In verse 25, and his disciples came unto him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. Master, carest not that we perish. Over the last 7-8 years, that's where we've been. Heavens and the earth have been shaking. Out of Hebrews 12, says the heavens and the earth will shake, and don't refuse him who speaks, but only the kingdom will remain. There's been a lot of shaking going on. And God is shaking loose what needs to be shaken loose so he can shake into place what he wants to shake in place. And so there was this great windstorm. There was this great tempest as they begin to cross over to the other side. Now, you'll find here in this account that when that time comes, in verse 26, and when he said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of this that the winds and the sea obey him? The reason that Jesus was upset was the fact that I've been with you this long and I expected your faith to see you through the storm of the shaking that's going on in America. I expected you. I'm on your boat. I'm on Marian Christian Center's boat, and that's just the way it is. I'm not going to let you perish. I'm not going to let you falter because I'm on your boat. This is an hour you want Jesus on your boat. This is not a time I went. No, you better be sent. You, everything that you're doing, you want to know that God said it. So you want to be a part of a church. You want to be a part of a ministry that has been sent by God. You want to be a part of something that has purpose, that has destiny. All right. And so Jesus says, instead of being so fearful, now when we talk about fearful, it's okay for, look, when fear comes upon you, that's real. But the Bible says, I haven't given you the spirit of fear that brings torment. There's a difference. You can be fearful, but you have enough courageousness to come forth and say, I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. Even though I feel, faith is not a feeling. Let's try it again. Faith is not a feeling. Let's try it one more time. Faith is not a feeling. I don't have to feel spiritual. You'll never really feel spiritual. It's not about a feeling. It's about the spirit. And so God has been training us, the body of Christ, how to really move by faith by his spirit. And he's breaking off a lot of ways of thinking. And God is bringing a new wineskin upon the church. That's what he's been doing here. He's causing a new wineskin for a new wine for a new time. This is Matthew 16 all over again. Jesus, you know the story. Jesus comes and says, he takes those who have followed him. Hear what I'm saying to you. He takes those who's followed him, who showed up on Sunday, who came Wednesday when they didn't feel, who've been faithful. He takes them to a high place. And he says, notice it was Peter, James, and John. That's why I said what I said. Who do men say that I am? In every generation, hear me, young people, millennials, hear me. In every generation, he asked that question. Well, what's the poop out there? Who do men say I am in America with this Twitter, Facebook thing going on? Let me know about the iPhone. What do they say in the iPhone generation who I am? What's the poop out there? What they saying about me? Who do men say that I am in America? Who do men say that I am in Marion? Who do men say that I am? And Peter got the revelation. Thou art the Christ. In every generation, God has a people that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build and repair the breaches and the walls that have been torn down. I will build. The rock is the rock of revelation. And when, I deal with a lot of young men, you know, just mentoring them. Peter's identity came into focus as a stone when he got that revelation. But 15 minutes later, he couldn't keep it. And Jesus had to prophesy him and say, called him Satan. And that's not a good day when Jesus prophesies a word and calls you Satan. I know you probably had a bad week. You probably had a bad year. But has Jesus prophesied to you and said, you Satan? Probably not. Well, just smile. Look at your neighbor. Life's not so bad. I think we're going to be okay. But the lesson that you want to see is, once when he had the revelation, that was his true identity. The moment that he lost the revelation, in Luke 22, he says, Simon, Simon, the enemy desires to have you to be sifted as wheat. So I'm going to have to let him sift you, because unless you can keep the revelation, you never really stay in the identity that God had for you. When you get a prophetic word, that's what God said about you. That's who you are. What God says about Mary and Christ, that's what God said about Mary and Christ Center. And so you have to learn to steward the revelation that God has said about you in every generation. And so this nation is at a tipping point. Nations are being at a tipping point. I will share this with you. We just got back from Nigeria with Bishop Hammond on a trip. And I saw Africa being dipped in the ocean. And the Lord says there's a fresh baptism that's coming to nations. About a year ago, I saw nations in different places. So where America was, New Zealand was, and where New Zealand was, America was, and where China was, it was where Hawaii was. Everything was changed. Everything had realigned. And what God was saying, that's how much things have shifted in the nations of the world. That's what's been shaken into place. And it doesn't look the way it was when me and Pastor Perry grew up. Things don't look the same as they looked 10 years ago because everything's changed. You're at an election time where, good God, what would you vote for? Well, you've never been here before. God says you never passed this way before. But it didn't stop God from anointing Jehu or Haziel, the ungodly, and he was still God to do what he needed to do. And Jezebel was taken care of. So Pastor Perry said something I thought was very important. We serve a king, not a president. We pray for a president. That's called walking and chewing gum at the same time. A lot of people can't do that. It's allegiance here and allegiance here, and that's not the kingdom. You got one king and one Lord, and his name would be Jesus. Men live and die every day. You can be in a position one minute and die like Nebuchadnezzar the next. That didn't stop God. See? So he's breaking a lot of that off of us in the midst of where we're going. Okay? Now let me release this real quick. So you're going to say, I'm going to the other side, and I'm going to the other side seeing. All right? Now, an example of what it would look like. Two examples I'm going to give, then I'm going to release this prayer. When you look at the book of Joshua, God tells him, okay, Joshua, Moses is dead. There's no one greater than Moses up at that time. So you're going to have to, there's no longer a cloud or fire anymore. So my glory is going from a cloud and a fire into something called an ark. So the manifestation is going to be different this time around. And because you've been faithful, Joshua, you're going to obey, and you're going to meditate day and night. This is all in Joshua 1. I'm just paraphrasing. But he tells him three times, don't be discouraged or dismayed. He tells him that more than anything in that passage about crossing over. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. In other words, he says, don't flip out. Don't stress out. Even though you'll feel that temptation and feel the stress, God says, you're going to chill out. You're not going to be dismayed because you don't have the answers and you don't have a lot of solutions. But what you're going to do, you're going to meditate on my word. And this is what you're going to do. And this is not about position now, Joshua. This is about my glory. And that's what God's doing with the church right now. It's not about position and title. It's about his glory. But if you're still moving under the cloud and the fire, that season is no more. And so we've got to be willing to receive. See, and let me say this. I can say this here because you guys get it. There won't be black, white church. There won't be green church, yellow church. The cloud and the fire no more. It won't just be to the Jews. God said, I'm coming for the Gentiles. They don't even look nothing like you. There's nothing new under the sun. And what we're going to go do is we're going this way. And in it, I'm going to bring forth the miraculous out of my church. When I woke up, I think it was 2 days ago, I saw this ministry. It was dipped in gold. And it also had what you can call ornaments, like a Christmas tree. And the Lord says, I'm causing ornaments to come upon this ministry that's going to be a light and a beacon for the lost. This ministry will be a ministry of great evangelism, prophetic evangelism. Those who have been hurting, I saw hospitals being ministered to. Some of you, if you work in hospitals, there's going to be outpourings of God's Spirit of healing and deliverance that doctors and people will not be able to explain. There is a tremendous amount of anointing for healing over this ministry. And you know why? Usually people who've been through a lot, they can, because they've been through a lot. Because God healed them. God delivered them. They have something to give. They can't just tell you a story. They lived it. They know what it was to be that. And so they have it so they can give it. Freely you receive, and freely you'll give it. And you'll begin to see that in a dramatic way over this ministry in the next coming season. I hear the Lord saying, you're pioneers for what I'm about to do here in the future in this region. There's a time of awakening to your faith on the inside of you in this ministry. God said it will be just like the disciples, the faith that they didn't have. God was trying to get them to discover the faith that was already in them. And the Lord is saying to you in this house, he says, there is a gift of faith that God is beginning to produce in this ministry. There is a faith element inside of you that's going to arise like the lion of the tribe of Judah that's going to roar in this season. You won't walk around defeated. You won't walk around oppressed. God says, I'm breaking off a spirit of oppression and depression and confusion of last season. Now, let me say this. Now, we've been talking about transition, right? Now, listen. Now, this is probably the most, God said a lot, but if I was sitting there, okay, that's good. I got that. Now, what can I go home with? Look, God, I'm just real. Transition has three phases. So what you're seeing is when we say come glory to glory, that means I must not be there yet. God says, no, none of us are, but we're transitioning. Not a bad word. Okay. That's called your calling. Some of you have great callings. He's talking about your calling. He's talking about your gifting. Now, I'm paraphrasing this as far as Marian Christian Center, but I'm talking about your personal life. You're transitioning as a father. You're transitioning as a husband. You're transitioning in whatever vocation God has put in you or gift. It's the same concept here. Okay? So we're all in transition, but transition has three phases to it. First, you die. If you do not know this, you will walk around confused. Doesn't make you a bad, unspiritual person. He just says, my people kind of perish for a lack of knowledge. See? So you die. Why? Moses is dead. John the Baptist is no longer baptizing in that season. That season is done. So there's a death. I was single. I am not. That died. There's a death. Okay? Bible says this way, a seed will die and go into the ground. Life will come forth. Same principle. Once death comes, confusion immediately comes. You can just take it just when someone who's close to us dies. Same concept. Nothing's changed. There's nothing under the sun. Confusion, because I've never lived without my dad. I've never lived without my mom. I've never had to pay a bill because I've stayed with my parents since I was 36. No, but I mean, I don't know what it is to. I just don't know. And so I'm going to be confused because I don't know who I am. I don't know where I am. I don't know what it's going to look like. I just know I'm supposed to be going. And I believe what I'm supposed to believe. And I'm just believing. But I'm one confused puppy right now. Okay? Doesn't make you bad. Doesn't make you a bad church. Doesn't make you a bad preacher. Doesn't mean that you're a bad parent. It's just called, you're just a spirit from the kingdom of God. Just chill out. John did it. Elijah did it. Just chill out. And let me show you how to do this. So confusion will come just like it did with John the Baptist. Confusion came because that season ended. He didn't know what it was going to look like. And so when that confusion time comes, there will always be relationships that get redefined. Everybody that came out of Egypt ain't going with you over to the promised land. I don't care how many times you had chicken dinner with them. You're not going. The body of Christ need to hear this because we don't quite get it. One around the tub, no soap. No, dude, listen. You came out with them. You're no longer being beat like a slave. You're out in the desert. That's the valley of decision. I'm not being beat. I'm in a desert. I've never even been in the desert, so I might like it here. You might want to war and go over here to the next level of prophetic destiny. I don't know. But we're going to have, so there is always relationships getting redefined when you cross to another level. Doesn't make them good. Doesn't make them be, eh. If you leave my relationship, you're cursed. I don't know the Bible. See how long he lasts. No. That's how we got where we were in America. God says, let's try this again. Listen, you've got to be able to just be very sensitive to that. And your destiny and purpose may be different than someone else's. And that's why Jesus, and I love this illustration, I'll be done in 2 minutes. That's why Jesus used this illustration. He's got 12 following him, 70's following him. One day he started talking about eating bodies and eating blood, drinking blood. That congregation says, we out. Little cultic. Notice Jesus' response. This Santa Claus Jesus, we made him here in America. Please come back. Please. Please come back. Nope, that's not what the scripture says. He looked at the other 12. You going too? Didn't flinch. Well, didn't he love the 70? Well, sure he did. And he enjoyed them for a season. He could walk and chew gum and love them. But will you go? Will you go to the next level of prophetic destiny? That's why when Peter, he jumped on Peter, when he done denied him 3 times. Brother, you done lost all type of credibility in the kingdom and you worried about what John gonna do. You remember that account? You done denied him 17 times. You didn't even act like you saved. And then all you can say is, hey, yeah, that's cool, but what about John? What about John? Brother, don't worry about John. Don't worry about Church Cross Street. I didn't ask you about, I'm talking about you. And I've seen your work, so let's just keep the books closed and let's just keep moving. So there's a confusion. And that's what I'm going to break here in another minute and a half. Then the good part. You come into the new. Say, I'm coming into the new. I come from Missouri today with the word of the Lord that will tell you this. You're coming out of the confusion. You will move into Isaiah 61, 6 and 7 that says, I will give you double for your confusion and for your shame because I want you to go beyond into the next level of prophetic destiny. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Mm. Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your glory. I thank you for the pastors of this house. I thank you, Lord God, for the elders and the leaders, the workers, the co-laborers, these who have been faithful. You have a faithful group here. You have a core group that God can work with to go to the next level. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare this day that this is a new day in Marion Christian Center. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You're giving new ways of doing. You're giving new methods, Lord God. And Father, you're causing them to cross over to the other side. Father, we break a spirit of confusion that is no more in the name of Jesus Christ. Every spirit of suppression and depression that has tried to suppress them, we break it in the name of Jesus Christ. We declare that the breaker's anointing will go before this ministry. Father, that there's a new fresh anointing that is upon this house in the name of Jesus. There's an impartation, Lord God, that you're giving unto them, that Father, they're coming into the third phase of their ministry. They're coming into another leg of the race, and the Lord says you will be strong. The Lord says you will be free, says the Lord. And God says you will war, but God says you will know how to contend. God says you will be more efficient in your warfare, in your intercession, in your prophetic declarations. God says you're going to know what to hit and how to hit it and how to aim, says the Lord. God says you will move with the sword of the Lord. In 2017 will be a year where you will cut your way into the future, says the Spirit of the Lord. Father, I declare and decree this day that there's an open heaven over this ministry. I declare a young generation, a Samuel generation that's coming forth in this ministry. I see them drinking deep of your well, drinking deep of your presence. I saw many worship teams up on this platform. God said there will be teams of worship, says the Spirit of the Lord. This house will be known as a house that allows the presence of God to come forth. And people will want to know, how do you bring the presence of the Lord? For the Lord says, my presence will be great. The manifestation of who I am will be great in the house, says the Spirit of the Lord. So the Lord says, even as the nation shifts this week, God says, you're going to move in the river of the shift. And God says, you'll be one seeing, and you'll be one's understanding, says the Spirit of the Lord. Father, we declare and release the word over the Lord right now in Jesus' name, and we seal every word that you have spoken over this house, over the leaders, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Right on time. All right.
Amen. We could have our worship team back up front, please. And I don't know how many of you were here in October and when Patricia Bootsma was here, how many that you can echo, if you remember what she prophesied too. So the stuff from here. So I'm going to ask if our personal ministry team would come up, please, and these ones would be available. We're also going to receive an offering here at the end just to bless the Chamberlains. And so if our ushers could come back too, please. And so the personal ministry teams are here to minister to anyone, pray with you about anything. You know, when Pastor Enos was sharing about crossing over, the greatest crossover you can ever do is receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. That determines your eternity. And so if you've not done that yet, or you're not sure about that, these ones can pray with you about that. You know, as he shared, you don't have to understand, you never will understand everything. And there's a point of faith and trust in God. So if you've not made that decision, I encourage you to come and let them pray with you. They're available to pray with about anything for you. We're going to sing a closing song, and Mike's going to close in prayer. So, but God bless you, and go and cross over. Don't stop. You know, keep going, because you have a God who loves you. You have a good shepherd who has a plan for your life. So God bless you.
And our song.